about tonight. Your walls are going to fall. The devil's got walls in front of your life right now. You think it's unclimbable, unsurmountable. But those walls are going to fall because the power of God is stronger than those walls. The anointing of God is more powerful than anything that stands before you. And God's word is the final authority. We are redeemed, church. We are justified in Christ. We have been glorified and sanctified and set apart for His purpose for this season. We're not here by accident, but we were all called by name. He walked by us. He knocked on our hearts and He called us out by name. We're here because He destined us to be here. He called us. He didn't leave us uncalled. He called our name. Thank God for that. What an honor that God spoke your name, that God passed your way, that God touched you, that God brushed you, that God says, "You're mine. Do you hear me?" Yes, I hear you. That inner conviction inside that wouldn't let you go. You try to rebel, but it wouldn't let you go. You went to hell, but it wouldn't let you go. It kept bringing you back up. You can't get away from my love. You can't escape my call. You can't escape my destiny. You can't escape what I've got for you. I am stronger than the will of the enemy against your life. I am stronger than that will. That's the word of God. He's the final authority. Time for our walls to fall. We're going to talk about that. Brother, you ain't got to stay here the whole time. I know you want to probably enjoy your time. I mean, you can if you want to. It's great. I mean, whatever you want to do, brother. And I love that tie, man. That is all right, brother. I like it. Joshua chapter 6. Turn to Joshua chapter 6. This is the story of Jericho. But this has a very symbolic meaning today in our lives. It may be an old story we learned in Sunday school. Maybe something good we share with others, but this is relevant to today's life, this story of the fall of Jericho. There's several symbolic things we will talk about through this versus now in our lives. Now, Joshua, as you know, was the successor of Moses. Moses died, and Joshua took the mantle and finished the job. Moses got him to the brink of the promised land, but couldn't enter in the promised land. He died outside the promised land, which represented, you know, before grace, really, if you want to get symbolic about it, because Moses represented the law. And he didn't go in the promised land. But Joshua carried him on over. Joshua finished what Moses couldn't. As Moses was buried, the message went forth. God's word didn't die because the messenger died. We must understand that. The message goes on. The gospel goes on. Truth goes on. The message will continually go, no matter who passes away. As long as this earth stands, the message of Jesus will keep going forward. So Joshua took over from Moses, and he gave Joshua some directions God did about, you know, what to do. So Jericho's their first big task. And Jericho was central in conquering the other, it was kind of the centerpiece of protecting the rest of the lands. And so Jericho must be conquered. It was a stronghold. If they could get through Jericho, they had access to the rest of the country God had promised them. So Jericho was a challenge, but not for God, as we know. Verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up, securely shut up, because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." God already told Joshua before that it's yours. City's yours. I'm giving it to you. And I read a commentary that said something I thought so profound. It said that our future is God's present. Now think about that. God already knows. It's present to Him. He spoke the word. It was already a done deal. You're going to take Jericho, but yet nothing happened yet. Nothing happened, but God says, "You're going to take it. I'm going to give it to you." God was giving a prophetic word of what was to come. You are going to take the city. Next verse. "And you shall," now he gives him direction on what to do right here. This may sound silly in today's time. Was it your Sunday school class, Sharon, or another one that took the kids out and did this? March friend, that was you, right? Sharon taught this story and actually took the kids out one Sunday morning and went around the building six times to demonstrate this story. I thought it was really neat. "You shall compass the city, all you men of war, go round about the city once. You shall do this for 6 days." What does six represent in the Bible? Man. So six represents man. So for 6 days, they're going to just march around the city, not say a word, just march in silence. I bet that was hard, wasn't it, Sharon, to keep the march in silence? And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day, what does seven represent? Anybody? Rest. It's God's number, right? Seventh day. Completion, fulfillment, rest, God. It's going to be completed the seventh day. The seventh day, you shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpet. The priests were the messengers of that day. They had the message. That's why they're blowing the trumpets. They're the messengers. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. God's given direction on what to do. Here's the war plan. You're going to march around the city 6 times. Then the seventh for 6 days. I mean, 1 time for 6 days. Then the seventh day, you're going to march around 7 times, blow the horn, and shout. And when you do that, those walls, now these walls were fortified walls as a defense mechanism to protect the city, and they stood to defend their people. Those walls are going to fall flat just from the shout. Not from anything being fired, not from tanks and bombs, not from any kind of physical warfare, but God's word alone was going to tear those walls down. God's word today still tears our walls down. That word still heals the sick. That word still raises up that which is dead. That word still restores that which is lost. That word still binds the enemy and casts him out of our lives when we blow that trumpet and sound the alarm that Jesus is Lord and nothing can overcome him. He is my Lord and my God, my Redeemer, my great I am, and nothing else can overtake that. It still applies today in our lives. It's time to blow the trumpet. We are not defenseless. We are armed with the very Holy Spirit they sang about inside of us. We are armed with an authority from God and anointing in God. We are armed with His word that says, by His stripes I am healed. We're armed with, I am more than a conqueror through Him which strengthens me. We are armed with all kinds of pearls in God's word, but we don't ever fire a shot. We don't use it against the enemy. We don't apply it against the enemy. We let him tramp over our lives and keep us in shame, in condemnation, in guilt, in pain, in sorrow, in grief, in discouragement, in fear. We let the enemy keep us down. But it's time to blow the trumpet and say, Jesus, take care of it. Jesus, heal my body. Jesus, save my home. Jesus, break that addiction. Jesus, remove that stronghold. Jesus, you are Lord and God of all things, and I'm sounding the alarm. And the devil has to. He has to bow when we invoke that name. There's not an option, not a choice, not what if. No, he will. But I'm just little mini, but you're mini in God. Hallelujah. And when you speak the word, he has to bow the knee because the blood canceled out his authority 2,000 years ago. There is no more power he has over you that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Start using that again. Walking in that and applying that in your lives. It's time we take back our homes and our families and our minds and our lives. It's time we take that back and remember who we are in Christ. My God, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. The word of our testimony. Who am I? I am somebody in the Lord. I'm a child of God. I am a king's kid. I am the provision of God. I am the head and I'm not the tail. I'm a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I am the one God called out of darkness and put into light. That's who I am. Glory to God. Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant. Let the seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on, compass the city, and let on before the ark of the Lord. This ark of the covenant, as we know, most of us know this, was where the presence of God abode in that time period. This ark of the covenant contained a jar of manna. It contained the rod of Aaron. It was the broken tablets of the commandments, this was considered where the Holy Spirit abode. It was a sacred, holy thing. And notice this, in their battle, in their marching, what was going along with them? The Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God in the middle of their battle. They didn't go disarmed. They didn't go without that. This is the presence of God. This is what we're counting on. We're taking this in the middle of our march, in the middle of our battle. God, you're in the middle of my storm. We talked about this morning how he's in the middle of our storm. He's with us. He's present. He's a present God in time of trouble, not a distant God. He's a now God, right here, right now. When you wake up tomorrow, God is with you. It might be Monday morning. You might come out of bed like a grizzly bear, but I'm telling you, God is with you. You wake up with God. You go to sleep with God. When you're dreaming, God is there. When you're showering, God is there. When you're driving, God is there. Everywhere you go, because we now, thank God, have become the new Ark of the Covenant. His presence dwells inside of man, inside of our hearts. And when we walk, we carry his presence everywhere we go. That's why we should speak in faith and teach in faith and lay hands in faith. Not our power, but the power inside of us. That's where deliverance comes. That's where healing comes. We are a walking presence of God everywhere that we go. And that's why people are convicted by your presence sometimes. Just by you being there, they're convicted. You want to disrupt the place of sinners, just walk in. Just walk in. Don't even have to judge them. Just walk in the room and watch them scatter. It'd be like ants on, roaches on raid. Raid! Whoosh! You walk into a room and they know you're really saved. I got to get out of here. I don't like it. I don't know. I feel, I'm not going to. They're going to go preach. I ain't going to preach. Yeah, they get very uncomfortable. You know why? They feel that presence of God. It's a living presence. You ain't got to say a word. Just walk into a room. Bishop, I was somewhere visiting somebody. I think I was at a hospital, actually, and I wasn't dressed up. Didn't look nothing like you look, brother. You look sharp, man. I'm talking about you. Like ZZ Top thing, sharp-dressed man. That's you, brother. And I was just dressed in regular, regular clothes, maybe jeans and a shirt like this. Went to the hospital. And this woman, I was walking around, this woman came up to me and she said, I just was talking to her, she says, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" Didn't have a Bible, wasn't dressed in a suit, just I was in a hospital. "You're a preacher, aren't you?" "How'd you know?" "I just feel it." You just feel like you're a preacher. You know, you probably get that too, brother. It's a mate. Well, I'm sure you did. But you get that. You get that because people can pick up on that. They can pick up on that. I've told you, there have been times I've been the food line waiting, you know, check it out, and I'll be talking to somebody. "What you doing now?" They know me. "Hey, James, what you doing now?" "Oh, I'm pastoring." "Oh, well, good to see you." I mean, they're gone. I mean, I ain't going to hold you down and baptize you on aisle 3. I mean, really? I ain't going to try to beg you to church. I'm not going to tell you what a sinner you are as you're checking out your beer, back, or cigarette. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just standing there, okay? That's all I'm doing. So funny, though, how that happens, the conviction just draws them. And so here's this Ark of the Covenant, and they're taking it into battle with them because they want God in the battle with them. They understand how important that is. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest and blew with trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark. They had military behind the ark and in front of the ark. Ark was in the middle, representing God's presence in the middle of our battle. And the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout." That's a hard task alone, wasn't it? Y'all keep your mouth shut till I tell you to speak. That's what he was saying. Can we do that? So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. They came to the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Remember, only the priest could touch the ark of the covenant. And the seven priests, bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. Now I want you to think about this. I've used that before. The cities back then were very compact, They were together. It wasn't like Charlotte. We're scattered for 10 counties. It was one place with one big great wall that pretty much went around it. Now imagine you're the people of Jericho. And you're seeing these weird Israelites, the war people and the priests and the Ark of the Covenant. All they're doing is marching around the city. They're watching what's going on. They're very aware of what's happening. And they're marching around, not saying anything, not chanting, just walking around the city. I mean, imagine the scene. After one day, then 2 days, then 3 days. At first, they're probably really nervous. Okay, what are they doing? By the fourth, fifth, sixth day, they're probably thinking, these guys, they're crazy. Okay, I think the threat's off because all they're doing is walking around. I mean, it's like a peaceful protest. I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but they're just walking around. But as they say, the calm before the storm, right? They're walking around not saying anything, just like Joshua commanded them to. They did that for 6 days. Go ahead, Jared. And it came to pass on the seventh day, they rose up early about the dawning of the day, compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day, they compassed the city 7 times. Instead of once, they did it 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Shout. I often wonder, what did they shout? What were they saying? What were they doing? Were they just shouting, God, Jehovah God? Or were they shouting, Lord, help us? Or were they shouting, God, we love you? Or, he is Lord of all. What were they saying, I wonder? Did each one just say their own thing? They just begin to worship. Were they charged to say a certain thing? The Bible doesn't really tell us that. It just says the people shouted. And Joshua said, for the Lord hath given you the city. He's already making a prophetic claim. As you shout, the wall is going to come down. And this city is going to be overtaken. Because this is part of the promised land that God had promised them. This was the first stop. They had to conquer this. And then God will continue to open up doors. And the city shall be cursed. Even it and all that are there to the Lord. Only, now look at this. This is, I love this. Only Rahab the harlot shall live. How gracious is God? For everybody says he's a mean, condemning, vengeful, angry God. He saves the harlot. He saves the one, as growing up, my mom said they had the expression, a woman of ill repute. I never forget that. I've learned that from my mother. Some of their generation. They're a woman. We don't say those words, Jamie. We say woman of ill repute. Well, we have a lot of other words that sound a lot worse that mean the same thing in our generation. Ill repute. Why would God save this harlot? Most of us probably know the story of when the spies came in to spy out the city, that she helped save the spies' lives. She helped save God's people. You know what that shows? Her heart was conditioned for God. That she wasn't a harlot at heart. Not really. That's what she did. But God had another plan for her. And there was something about her that drew her to these men of God that wanted to save them. And she's mentioned in Hebrews, in the book of faith, as one of the heroes of faith. A harlot. Think about who all God has really used when we start to think about this. We've heard this. I mean, he used David, who was an adulterer, murderer, deceiver. He used Samson, who was a drunk and a fornicator. You know, he used Peter, who denied him 3 times. He used Paul, who stoned Stephen and cursed God and was trying to arrest all these people. All these people we read about, God used. Though they did a lot of bad things, they were still God's people. Because the grace of God had a bigger plan than the will of the enemy had in their lives. He says, I want you. He wanted this harlot, and she was saved. She and all that were with her in the house. See, I believe in that church right there. Not just Rahab, but those in her house. See, my family, my whole family is a seed of God. That's why you pray over your family. You seal your family. Not just you, God, my family, my household, who's under my roof. God, I claim them. Not just me, but my whole household. I speak your blood over, and I claim them for your kingdom. And God, I seal them with your Holy Spirit that my whole household is saved, that everyone living in my house is saved, no matter how bad they are, that my home is saved, every single person. That's important. It wasn't just Rahab, but it was our whole family that God protected and saved and had favor for. Right there it says, because she hid the messengers that were sent. She didn't turn them in. She protected them. In any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. You know, I think it's important today, too, because there's things we just shouldn't be messing with as Christians. There's things we shouldn't be touching. There's things we shouldn't be dabbling in because they're cursed by the enemy. And God's people have no business being certain places, doing certain things, acting out certain ways. We just don't have a business touching certain things. We've got to be very careful because the enemy, his spirit is deceiving, and he only needs a little space to get into your heart and mind to try to take over. And so when we know something's of the devil, leave it alone. Don't play with it at all. And I know I got to tell you all this because this is the Sunday night crowd, but don't go to these people that are these fortune teller people and these. I mean, we got some here in Statesville that do that. See signs up, you know, these. I don't think they call them fortune tellers, but whatever they call them. I call them witches. Psychics, yeah. At least they're psychos, but psychics. Can't mess with those kind of things. You can't give the enemy that kind of, that's a cursed thing. That's of the enemy. And we got to be careful to leave that alone. Go ahead and do the next verse. But all the silver. Now, Bishop, we could make a tithe message out of this, couldn't we? But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Four or five of you, that's great. That's about what it usually is. He said, you know what? Destroy everything in the city. But that stuff is valuable. That gold and silver, bring it to put it in the treasury of my house so that my kingdom can grow and so provision is made for my plan. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man, and took the city. They shouted. Didn't fire a shot. They just did what God told them, and their walls of the city fell down flat. Archaeologists have done many studies, and there was definitely a Jericho, and there are rubbles of walls destroyed and tore down. I mean, I know that's, but they have proven there was some great catastrophe that happened with this city. The walls that kept them out now are down to bring them in. And the enemy has walls in your life trying to keep you out from walking into what God has on the other side for you. They're standing there and they're staring at you, and you feel so defeated. You feel like there is no hope. It's never going to change. That's when we stand on God's word. Not in our time, but in His time. Not in our season, but in His season. And we declare that our walls are going to come down. And those things that are keeping us out from what God has waiting on us will keep us out no longer. It's time, church, to depend on God's word more than what we're seeing with these eyes, more than what we're feeling with our emotions, more than what people are telling us and laughing at us and saying that's not truth and that's not that, and why are you confessing, why are you speaking, why are you praying? If it's happened, it happens. If God wills, He wills. And we hear all this brainwashing, watered down, weak teaching instead of saying, you know what, I've got a God that can do anything. You may not believe it, fine. Stay behind your wall. Praise God, I'm coming out. I don't care what anybody says. I know who I serve. I know who my God is, and I know what He can still do. I know my God can do anything. There is nothing beyond His scope. There is nothing beyond His limits. There is no giant, bigger, or smaller, for He does not measure any of those. We measure those. He doesn't. And I refuse to stay behind walls when I know God can take me across. No more. We need to get determined that the walls that have kept us out, and the walls that have kept us pinned in, and the walls that tell us you're never going any further, and the walls that say, give up, I won. No, they didn't, and no, they won't. For the Word of God has all power and all authority to tear down any wall that stands before us. The Word of God is that big and that strong. It's up to us to believe that and to say, you know what? They blew the trumpet and they shouted. They trusted God. We saw many battles like this in the Old Testament. The Battle of Gideon, a shot wasn't fired. I mean, Gideon was outnumbered, you know, had 100,000 on one side and just a few thousand on his side. And God had a great plan for that battle to be won. They went running like cats on a porch of rocking chairs, you know, went running. And nothing was even fired. But because what God set up, they were afraid. Because they thought something different than what actually was happening. If we let God fight our battle, that's what happened here. They didn't fight it. God fought it. All they did was march. I mean, think about this. Really think about this. You're a soldier. Are you still a soldier since you're a captain? Okay, I didn't know. I didn't want to degrade you. You're still a soldier. Okay. So, can you imagine Linder's got some troops? They're over in Iraq. And they're going to one of the cities over there. What's the name of the city? Anybody know a city in Iraq? Fallujah. Thank you. And God tells Linder, take your troops, march around the main part of town. Just march around. Have some of your guys blow the horns and just march. And when I tell you to shout, shout. And you'll have the city. Think how extreme that seems. How bizarre that seems. And how effortless it really was on their part. All they had to do was just obey what God said. We make it so difficult because we try to fix it ourselves. We think there's power we have or strength we have or wisdom. All wisdom comes from God. All strength comes from God. All power comes from God. We have nothing apart from the Holy Spirit in our life directing us and teaching us. Marching around the city, shouted and blew the trumpets. The walls come down. The rest of the story, I don't have it up there. You know, they go in. They destroy every man, beast, animal, woman, child, just like God told them to do, and captured the city. And then they went on the next city, the next city, the next city, until the promised land was established, just like he said it would be. The walls you have standing before you won't always be there. You can speak God's word to your wall. You can speak God's word and say, you're able, Lord, to tear this down for me. Because I'm tired of it separating me from what you have for me. I'm tired of my child being on one side and me being here. I'm tired of my situation being so desperate when I know, God, you can change it. You can help it. You can help me. Do we believe that God's bigger than the walls that stand before us? And those walls have many names, church. Depression, fear, bondage, sexual addiction, lust, discouragement, anger, jealousy, pride, worry, anxiety. All these are walls. Fear. I love hearing kids. It's great to have kids' voices in church. Especially those men kids. That's awesome. Take up two rows. Each one of you know what your wall is tonight. You know what it is. It's got a name. I got walls like a name. I got walls in my life I can name. Are we letting the name of that wall be in control? Or are we letting the God that can tear those walls down be in control? Because God can tear them down. It's up to us believing and trusting God. Is God even in the middle of our battle, for one, like he was in Jericho? Are we allowing God in our battle? Or are we just going around telling everybody about it, can't fix it? You know, there's some things, church. I love my mom and dad. I love my wife, my children. That's the closest people in my life to me on the earth. But there's problems they can't fix for me. There's problems they just can't change for me. There's things I'm battling. No matter what they did, they can't take it away. But when I go to God and I call on his name, he hears me. He hears the cry of the righteous. And he delivereth us out of our sorrows. Whatever your wall is tonight, it doesn't have to keep standing there. It can be torn down. In the words of the late President Ronald Reagan, tear down that wall. It's time we tear down that wall. We've hid behind it too long, and we've given it power. You know what feeds our walls? Doubt and fear. It's kind of like when you're so afraid to do something, but then when you do it, you're like, I can't believe I was afraid of that. I can't believe that. I let that intimidate me all that time. I let that scare me all that. That was nothing. Remember Andy Griffith when Opie was scared of getting a knuckle sandwich? Andy said, don't worry about it. Don't hurt that bag. Get a black eye. You won't even feel it, son. You know, and he went to school that morning. And he come back in there looking up at him, Paul, you say you didn't even feel it? No, son. Didn't even feel it. But Andy's heart was broken knowing he was afraid. And Barney wanted to go follow, you know, and scope out. No, Barney, leave him alone. He's got to face this. And old Opie come running the courtroom. Pa, pa, ain't it a beauty? Ain't it a beauty? You're right. It didn't hurt at all. Man, if we get that mentality, the devil just intimidates us. Understand something. The reason the devil seems so big to us is because we magnify him. But God's already demagnified him. If we would see the enemy like God sees the enemy, he would be nothing in our lives. Absolutely nothing in our lives. Let's start using God's microscope instead of our binoculars, yeah, magnifying glass. I mean, you can make a tick look like an elephant if you got a big enough magnifying glass. Ooh, my gosh. It's a tick. That's what we do. Oh, that wall's big. Have you seen me? I'm God, the Almighty. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. You are a little bigger guy. Hey, baby. You show me a belly button. That's a cute belly button, darling. I think she's ready for her wall to come down. She's saying, I'm ready, Pastor. Brother, come up here. And can you come up here and play a little something on the piano for me? Do you mind? I know you're here to be with us. And I don't mean to work you, brother. I want to ask you, as he gets up, I just want you to play us a little something soft. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you got a wall standing in front of you, you know what it is. I mean, there's a certain wall that you just can't seem to get through. It's just there. No matter what you do, it's there. No matter how you prayed, it's there. It just don't seem to go away. I just want to pray a prayer over the ones that will just stand. Where you're at, you just stand up. And I want to say a prayer tonight over each of you that the wall comes down in your life. We're going to do what they did in the days of Jericho. And we're going to call on the name of the Lord. Lord, you can take the wall down. And I give it to you tonight to tear it down in my life. I'm tired of not being able to see what I'm supposed to be seeing because this is blocking my vision. I'm tired of this standing in the way. I know you've got more for me. You've got a greater plan for me. And I want to walk in that plan. I want to see that plan realized. If there's a wall that is just in front of you that you need God to move out of your way, whatever that is in your life, just stand, would you, where you're at. We'll pray together over each one that stands. You standing is an affirmation that you have a wall you need God to take care of in your life. These walls are nothing to the power and size of God. We've magnified them for too long. We've hid behind them too long. They've been a crutch to us and a cushion to us, some of us, and they've been an excuse for some of us. And it's time the walls that are staring at us, we just can't seem to get free from it. For each one of you, it's a different name tonight. It's a different wall that's staring at you. It's a different wall that is keeping you captive. It's a different wall that's keeping you from what God has planned for you. And God doesn't want you in prison anymore. He set you free. Calvary set you free. We're supposed to be free in the Lord and not be bound by the walls the enemy tries to separate us with. As I pray over you, the body here tonight, I want you just to be thinking about the wall that we're praying for in your individual life, whatever that wall is. that the Holy Spirit will do a mighty work and begin to move that wall out of the way. Tear it down. It may be piece by piece. It may be all at one time. But we're going to believe that your wall that you're identifying tonight, that God, you're giving it to Him. Maybe some of you never let God have this. Maybe some of you have never given God the hammer and say, God, take care of it. Maybe you just not let go because you're a control freak. You're an independent person. You think you deserve to be behind this wall, or you've done something to deserve to be behind this wall, and it's just your plot in life, and that's just not the case. God wants you free. As I sang that song earlier, if I can touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. You know what made whole is? It means nothing missing. Made whole means complete. Made whole means that everything is made right. That you leave here completely, everything touched in your life. I want y'all to lift your hands to the Lord. Would you do that tonight? Father, I speak your word over every heart that is standing here tonight in your presence. There are so many walls that have tried to defy our course, tried to tour from our destiny. But for every wall that stands before us tonight, God, we shout the victory. We speak the wall be destroyed and the wall be gone and the wall be removed, and that it is out of our lives now, Lord. It's out of our lives now that we can rest. We can see what you have waiting on us. It's time for that to go away. It's time for that giant to be slayed, for that monster that tells us we're defeated. It's time for that monster to be destroyed and say, no more, not one more hour will you rob of my joy and my peace in the Lord. Not one more day will I waste in fear, in bondage, in condemnation, in guilt, in shame, in fear, in discouragement. Not one more day, but I speak now the joy of the Lord into our lives. The joy of our God is our strength. And I declare that in the name of Jesus. Fill this house with your glory. Fill every heart with your presence, and let every wall be tore down in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus' name, we declare it. And the church said, amen. Amen. Receive that tonight, church. Receive that. But those walls are out of your life. That you don't get to the same point and keep stopping because it's blocking your way. But you're going to walk, and the next step you take, you're going to find yourself looking back and like, that's where the wall was. I'm on the other side. Glory to God. I'm on the other side. I passed through. No longer there, staring at me, reminding me of how bad I am or what I've done or who I am. I am the redeemed of Christ Jesus. He sees the blood. He sees me as His child. He doesn't see what I was. He sees me as what I am in Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You got this little praise chorus you can sing just for a minute? Just a little praise chorus. This worship as he sings this little praise chorus here. We'll get you out of here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to start envisioning the wall gone. Instead of looking at the wall standing there, you should now be seeing the open space. Envision the wall gone. Just envision it gone.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Can y'all help me sing? Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I live and I love. I'm so glad you came to save us. Oh, you came to show us the way from the earth to the cross. All of my debts you paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, I live. One more time. Oh, you came to show us the way from the earth to the cross. All of my debts you paid, yes you did, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, I lived. Oh yes I do, Jesus, I lived. God, with everything that's in me, Lord, I lived. Oh Lord, I lived on high.
Give God praise tonight, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many feel good tonight? You feel better than when you came? Boy, I do. I feel good. Of course, maybe because I was out schooling Anthony and Matthew basketball earlier, but that's okay. Got my endorphins going. Oh, man. Let's pray over our offering, and then we'll have you come and present your tithe and offering tonight to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. We thank you for this example we have that you still tear down walls if we'll just call upon your name. As we speak your name, Lord, our giants have to fall. We ask your blessing on the offering as we bring our tithe, our offering, whatever it is we're going to bring tonight. We bring it to you with happiness and joy and obedience and love. Lord, it's a sacred and holy thing to give unto you. And this is sacred seed, Lord, that we are sowing into the kingdom. We pray you bless and honor every hand that sows in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come bring your offering and tithe up at this time.